and then just sit around and do nothing till fucking midnight.
What's going on, people? So People Forget That podcast with your boy Ryan
and Kevin, as always, as usual. Episode 15, still in quarantine.
Wow.
I mean, it's kind of cheap to just reuse the same rhyme, but I think it's fitting. Still,
it's fitting, still very, very relevant, more than ever.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like this was like the first true, this is the first true week of quarantine life.
True. Very true.
It's been, what, like 10 days, 11 days since NBA suspended the season?
Yeah, it was Wednesday night, so a week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, this would be like almost 11 days. Even though it feels like, I mean, it's not like we're the first people to make the point, but it feels like, that feels like literally, what, 5-6 months ago at this point? Every day feels like a week. It's just, this is what we're living with, I guess. Hello, are you there?
Yep. Hold on, give me a second.
Give him a second. Yeah, I mean, we were trying to come up with things to talk about. There's plenty of free agency talk in the NFL, so we could get a good chunk of time out of that. And then, as usual, we're just going to see where it leads us, see where it takes us, see where we end up going, what we end up finding. You know, trying to give you guys a little bit of entertainment in this quarantine moment.
I just had to put my AirPods in. So.
All right, fair enough. Oh, that's another thing that's been bothering me. My fucking AirPods, one of them, I think it was just like the left one doesn't work.
I told you, you got to do that.
No. I did do that, and it made it work again, but it's been doing it for like a while. Like it will... Like I've reset my AirPod case. I've disconnected it from my phone and reconnected it. It's like it's just donezo. I honestly think it was I dropped the left AirPod on tile at Phoenix Fitness at the gym, and it hasn't been the same since. I'm like, that's kind of
did you let it die? Did you let them both die?
I mean, yeah, they've both gone to zero battery. Probably. I don't know. Maybe that's
no. You have to. It literally has to die, and then you charge it back up, and then it'll be good. It's like a total reset.
What do you mean, let it die? Like, let them both run out of battery?
Exactly. You let the AirPods die, and then you let the
case die, too?
The case die, and then...
I don't know if I can handle
it. You charge... Yeah, no, it's like, you know, it's a process. But then you charge them both back up at the same time, and then when they're both charged, you reconnect, and then it's, like, brand new.
All right.
That's the key.
I'll give that a try because it's so like if I put them both in the case and charge them, I'll take it out 2 hours later. The right one will be 100%. The left one will not be charged. And now it's like not even picking up the left one. Like if I just have let my left AirPod in, it doesn't even exist. Like nothing plays from it. It's fucking terrible. I was just walking around with my right AirPod in and nothing else.
Just throws off your balance.
It just throws me off. So that's a little AirPod talk for you guys. Little AirPods.
We're always supporting the brands.
Yeah, Apple definitely. I mean, MacBook, AirPods. I mean, AirPods are the best invention of all time. So I don't
all
claim
time.
To know anything about technology or... Oh, don't you know, like, Apple's RPM is not comparable to a Dell MacBook? Yeah, I don't really care about that. But AirPods are just undeniable. And I don't want to hear anything about, like, oh, I got wireless headphones, but, like, they're not the AirPods. They're so, like, why did you do that? Why? What the hell is your problem?
Just get the AirPods. They're so worth it. Like, it's my best, it's probably my favorite investment of all time.
Yeah, seriously.
Immediately, as soon as I bought it, I was like, wow.
It's like you could hear angels singing in the background, like, finally, like, this is what
we've got. Wires.
All the wires, I can't even, like, I'm using wireless headphones right now. I'm just like, the wire just feels like such an intrusion on my life. Like, it's like a.
What do you mean you're using wireless, wired headphones?
Like,
aren't you using the AirPods?
No. They don't fucking work. Wow. I just said that. I have the wired headphones plugged into the laptop. So that's what I'm playing. It's like a flu game. I'm playing hurt. I'm playing with a sprained ankle. So you want to talk NFL free agency? I mean, that's what we have to talk about, guys. So the one thing is nothing. So NBA shut down, MLB shut down, even European soccer that shut down. March Madness, you're done. Golf, PGA, you're postponed. NFL free agency, they don't give a fuck. It's still happening. We're still doing it, and we're just going to dominate as usual and get all the attention and all the hype. Honestly, I respect it. What a power move. Like, I don't even know how these free agents, like, how are they doing, like, physicals? They can't, like, go to team facilities, you know, and, like, team doctors can't examine them, right?
Like, no.
They're just, like, signing guys on, like, blind, you know, hope this guy's good. Let's sign it.
Send us a shirtless pick. Let's see.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, looks about right. Okay, you're signed. You're signed up to the team. Yeah, I mean, obviously the biggest news was T. Brady, TB12, the TB12 method, TB to TB. What did you think about that? Tom Brady going to years, random as fuck.
I think it was super shocking. And, I mean, for I think he's getting 2 years, $50 million guaranteed. And I think... I mean, it's a great move for, like, Tampa just because – not because of, like, the player but that he is, but, like, the brand that he brings. So, like, they could get, like, some fans in there. And they do have, you know, two elite wide receivers in Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin is, like, literally God. He's incredible. He has number 12 right now, so he's going to have to give that number up to Mr. Brady.
Yeah.
But – I think, like, people were immediately saying that the Tampa Bay Bucks were the not Super Bowl favorites, but definitely, like, contenders because of this. Okay. And I don't necessarily agree. I think, I mean, Tom Brady is going to be 43. He's going to be 43 playing in his 20th season.
That's pretty
insane. Is that right? No, no, no. Yeah, 20th season.
Yeah, he's turning 43 in August, and yeah, I guess that would be, be his 20th season. It's insane.
Yeah, I mean, I just, like, there's been some red flags the past couple of years, and the thing is that Mike Evans is a deep ball guy. Like, he's not a guy that you just throw to and he'll, like, make a play. Like, you have to make the play for him. You have to make that deep throw for him to get, like, open space. And Brady does not have that arm. His longest throw last year was 59 yards completion. And it's just been rapidly. That was not a career low, but the lowest since for the last 18 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's hard to say because, I mean, I don't know that specific play, but I could, like a 59, I would almost be more interested in what's the longest completion in terms of, like, yards in the air, you know, because that could have been, like, a slant and then, you know, Julian Edelman, not that this happened, takes it 50 yards, you know, and it's like he didn't even throw it that deep. So I wonder what play that was that he got that on. I don't know. I feel like So do you think, so their division, obviously the Bucks is the Panthers, the Saints, the Falcons. The Saints are always good. The Falcons, I mean, are, at least for the past few years, just seems like, I mean, since they made the Super Bowl, it's just that they, like, underachieve every year. The Panthers are rebuilding. I know they signed Teddy Bridgewater, but it's like, is anyone picking the Panthers to make the playoffs? And I know every year in the NFL, there's, like, random teams that make the playoffs that you don't necessarily expect, but it's basically the Saints or the Bucks. And I saw one thing. So the Bucks went 7-9 last year, and they're, you know how, like, point differential is useful to look at because it's, like, it's a more quote unquote true indicator of how good your team is, basically. And
yep.
I saw on, like, Pro Football Reference that was basically, like, based off the Bucks point differential, they would expect them to be an 8-8 team. So, like, they got a little unlucky last year. So if you look at it as Tom Brady's joining an 8-8 team, can he, like, push him to 10-6, get, like, a wild card? I think if you had to ask me right now, will the Bucks? And that's another thing is, I don't know if it's going into effect next year, like the whole adding two playoff teams. But I guess if you made me choose right now, I would say that the Bucks are going to make the playoffs. Because another thing that I saw that was really interesting was by DVOA, their defense was actually the fifth best in the NFL. I was like, oh, damn, is that true? And so it's like if they could have still a top, let's say they regress a little bit, but they're still a top 10 defense, and can Brady get that offense to be top 10, then you have a top 10 defense, top 10 offense. I'm not saying they'll be Super Bowl favorites or they're even going to make it to the Super Bowl, but I could see them making it to the playoffs for sure.
And what actually makes that stat for the Tampa Bay's defense is that Jameis threw 30 interceptions, so they had to be on the field even more.
Right.
So, like, he didn't help their defense whatsoever. Yeah. So that makes it even more impressive.
Yeah, it's like if you look at, I'm sure if you went by, like, points given up or points allowed, they definitely wouldn't be in the top five, but it's exactly like you're saying. If your quarterback throws 30 interceptions, you're going to – the opposing team's offense is going to have good field position a lot of times. So that's not necessarily a true judgment of how bad the defense is. Like, oh, the other team got the ball on the 35-yard line and scored a touchdown. Like, is that really the defense's fault, or is it the offense's fault for throwing the third interception of the game? So I think, I could see a 10-6 season by the Bucs getting into the playoffs. I don't know. I think it's interesting for – I don't understand what you're saying. Like, does Brady still have the deep ball? I guess that remains to be seen. But it's like, has the Patriots even had – I feel like the Patriots system – it's like – I feel like the jury's still out, because the Patriots system, like, when – I feel like it's been a few years since, like, it was a big part of their game plan to, like, go deep. And it could be like, is it the chicken or the egg? Well, did they change their game plan because Brady doesn't have the same arm as before? Or did they change their game plan because, like, they don't have the receivers that go deep anymore? It's kind of, like, tough to figure out what came first, or – What's the truth there? I think I would be a question, and this is, I'm just saying, I don't really know. I wonder how good their offensive line is, because they better have a good offensive line. Otherwise, I mean, Brady, basically almost all quarterbacks need at least a good offensive line to make it work. Even if you're like a Russell Wilson or Lamar Jackson, you could run around. You still can't have a bad offensive line. But, you know, with someone like Brady, who's not going to get out of the pocket too much, even though he's super good at, like, moving inside the pocket, I hope they have a good offensive line. And I imagine he wouldn't have gone to them if they have, like, a crappy one. So I could see it. I'm actually kind of pumped that it happened, because, like, it gives us, like, the whole, let's see what the Patriots look like without Brady. Let's see what Brady looks like without Patriots. Like, it's that whole Belichick versus Brady, who deserves more credit. Like, I love, at least from a narrative perspective, I love that he did leave.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, I think if the Patriots signed Brady, they'd just be stuck in cap hell and just wouldn't really be able to sign, like, any of the guys to give Brady that help. I mean, Brady averaged 60% of his passes and only averaged 6.5 yards per attempt. But, like, for his PFF grade, he ranked 12th among 32 qualifying quarterbacks, which is, pretty good to still be solid, in that top 12.
Yeah.
So obviously you're in that starter tier. I mean, the only thing that worries me is, like, just his arm strength, but I think Chris Godwin is just going to be phenomenal with him. I think Mike Evans takes, like, a big hit, because Jameis was not afraid to throw the deep ball.
Yeah, it's, and like, every Sunday, like, you would see, like, every highlight, not to interrupt, but, like, just super quick, like, every Sunday it was basically like, oh, it's 3:30 p.m. and, Jameis Winston just threw a ball 50 yards down the field to Mike Evans. It was either a pick or it went for, like, a 70-yard touchdown, but that was, like, every weekend, it felt like.
Exactly. So, I mean, we'll see. Like, he was a lot better previous 3 years. So last year was a bit of a downtick, but we'll see in this new offense and how he performs, and it'll be really exciting to see, obviously, like, that narrative that you talked about, like, just the Brady versus Belichick, and I'm wondering who Brady gets replaced by, because there's not many quarterbacks on the market. So, but I mean, it could be, would he do Jameis?
Yeah, so that is really an interesting thing to see play out. So, like, so Jamie Collins and Kyle Van Noy left the Patriots. They signed back McCourty, but they haven't really, they signed one of their offensive linemen too, I'm pretty sure, like, franchise tagged him. But they haven't really made, like, any major additions. So you wonder, like, are they going to go for, like, Andy Dalton's been rumored. Dalton. Would they go for
Cam Newton?
Would they go for Cam? That's what I was thinking. I was like, that would be sick. So, but the thing is with Cam right now is, like, he's still under contract. So I guess they would have to trade for him. So I would imagine they would, like,
they would.
So I'd imagine they'd
would get him for free.
Yeah. Like, much rather, like, the Panthers would just cut him, and then the Patriots would sign him and pay him like $3 million or something. If I could see that happening, a trade, it seems like a little, but even then it's like NFL trades, I feel like, make no sense. It's like, oh, like, for instance, the Ravens just traded for Calais Campbell from the Jaguars. And I saw, like, oh, Calais Campbell is the number one ranked run defender by PFF last season, right? So you're like, oh, I wonder what they got for him. And it's like the Ravens traded like a fifth round pick for him. It's like, you know, and that's like a pattern. NFL trades are just like, you get really good players for basically a fifth round pick or a sixth round pick or, you know, things like that. I guess because there's just so many players on an NFL roster, and there's so many, and they have like a hard cap that they can't go over, that it's like a player making a bunch of money, even if they're really good, doesn't have quite the same value as, like, you know, as in baseball or NBA, where you could go through the salary cap. And so it's just, I only say that to say, you know, would the Patriots trade for Cam if all they had to give up was a fifth round pick? I don't know. Or it's going to be interesting. Or do they stick with like Jared Stidham? Like that's their current quarterback. And it's like, what does Belichick feel about Stidham? Does he think he's good? Does he think he's not good? It's going to be weird. Like, is this going to be like a down year for the Patriots where they miss the playoffs? Are they going to tank the season to try to get maybe Trevor Lawrence next year in the draft? I don't know. It's interesting times. And then I also found it interesting that, you know, apparently from all the reporting that I was reading, this really came down to like Belichick versus Brady. Like, it wasn't like anything about like, oh, you know, whatever other rumors there were. It's basically just like Brady wanted to feel more appreciated. He wanted more credit. He wanted, like, you know, the Patriots to show, you know, give him like a 2-year contract or a 3-year contract or something, and be like, you know, we believe in you. We're committed to you. And, you know, Belichick is like, we're doing year by year, dude. Like, I'm not even committing 2 years to you at the same money that you got from the Bucks. And it's crazy. It's crazy to think about. It just doesn't feel real. I mean, even trying to picture, like, I saw photoshops, of course, of Brady in a Bucks uniform. It doesn't feel real, but I'm interested. The thing is, it's like Brady, okay, let's say the Patriots have a down year next year, right? Let's say they go 9-7 or something and they miss the playoffs. Let's say, you know, worst case scenario, they miss the playoffs, and Brady makes the playoffs with the Bucks, right? Well, Belichick is not like, I feel like people talk about Belichick like he's 75 or something. Like, he can still coach. I don't know whether he wants to or not, but he's 67. He's turning 68 next month. Like, can he not like coach the Patriots for another 4 or 5 years? It's like, he has time to turn this around without Brady, is my point. It doesn't have to be immediately next year, go 12-4 and make it to the conference championship game and be like, ha, you know, we didn't need Brady. It's like, he has like 5 years to win another Super Bowl basically without Brady, is my point.
Yeah. And it's really interesting. I think Jacoby Brissett will be like the safe option. I think that you can win a Super Bowl with him. Because you like he just does. He's like, he reminds me of Alex Smith.
Yeah, he's a game manager.
He's a game manager. He doesn't make many mistakes. But the exciting one would be Jameis, because Jameis has like so much raw talent. He has so much raw talent that if you could just cut those turnovers in half, which seems extreme considering that he threw for 30 last year. But I mean, he has like great arm strength, and I mean, he would be like very exciting. The thing is, like, he won't have that many receivers, if any, to throw to.
Yeah.
So I think that the thing is, it could be deceiving that Mike Evans and Chris Godwin were his wide receivers, so they might inflate his numbers and make him look better than he actually is.
Right.
But I think the talent is there. I think Cam is just washed. I think he's just too injury prone, and he has a shitty attitude. I'm sick of his Instagram posts with the cryptic messages.
With his fucking hieroglyphics font.
It's just honestly so like try hard.
It's almost a, and I'm generally a Cam fan, but the fact that
I used to be.
The fact that he writes in that font is almost like, you know how like when the NFL drafts will come around, you'll hear stuff about like, this team doesn't have player X on their board at all. It's like, okay, this guy's like a first round talent or a second round talent, but like five of the teams are just like saying, we're not going to draft this guy no matter where he falls because of character concerns or whatever. It's almost like Cam writing in that font on Instagram is almost like a reason to take him off your board completely. You know, it's like, it's like, what the hell is going on? What is the explanation for this? Why do you use this font on Instagram? It makes no sense. But yeah, I generally am a Cam fan. I think, you know, in not last season, but 2 seasons before, he had, for the first half of the season, he looked you know, not maybe back to his MVP prime, but he was playing really well. Then he got a shoulder, not last season, but two seasons ago.
2017, yeah.
Oh, no, 2018, 2019.
About? Okay.
And so he looked good to start off. Then he got a shoulder injury, and then he just fell off, and then his season was over. And then last season, you know, obviously to start off the season, he had like a Liz Frank injury, you know, like the foot injury. So he looked terrible to start the season. And I just wonder if he has a clean build. Like you said, he is injury prone, there's no doubt. But I wonder if he has like a clean bill of health, which is probably a bit hard to find out at this point with like we said, all this quarantine. It's hard to get your team doctors to examine a guy and give him a physical and see where his health's at. But he's only, he's 30, he's 30, 30 31 he's 30 straight up. In May. And it's like,
yeah,
like we said, I think it just goes back to the point. If the Patriots can get him and not have to, like, let's say if the I imagine, so the Panthers signed Teddy Bridgewater. So Cam is not going to be their quarterback, but he has 1 year left on his contract. So I think this is basically just going to come down to the Panthers said, like, hey, Cam, okay, we'll let you, which first of all,
trades,
which is so weird because it's like you don't need permission from a team to like try it. You know, I guess they're so just used to the NBA where it's just like players are like, yeah, I want to trade, like deal with it. Where in the NFL, it's like the team's like, we'll give you permission to explore. Like, does your agent need permission to like explore trades or try to see if people are interested? But anyway, so Cam has $18 million for this season. So I guess it's just going to come down to a waiting game of, is a team willing to give up anything to get Cam and then pay him $18 million? Or are the Panthers just going to have to like cut him and whatever, like the quote unquote dead cap hit is, just deal with that for this season. And then have a team like the Patriots say, okay, great. If we can get Cam without giving anything up, we're interested. I couldn't, like, if it comes down to Jameis versus Cam, like, I don't think there's going to be a huge market for either of them. I mean, Jameis is just a straight up free agent at this point. So that is, if a team's interested, they don't even have to worry about, you know, like giving up something like a draft pick. But it doesn't seem like I saw something like it's like Jameis is probably going to have to be a backup. I don't like, is it really? I understand. No, like, I mean, is he that bad? That,
but like, no, he's not that bad.
I think he's good enough to be a starter. But then I guess it comes down to like what team is going to want to start him when they know that, like, you know, he's just, his decision making is so erratic. But it goes to the point of, like you're saying, if
I'm on the Chargers.
Yeah, why not? At least it'd be interesting. Like, what are the, well, the Chargers are committed to Tyrod Taylor. Like, Tyrod Taylor, speaking of like game managers, he's fine. He's fine.
I think Jameis is better than Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I mean, it might be like closer than maybe, you know, Jameis puts up like you said, big stats. I mean, obviously in terms of interceptions as well, but he puts up yards and touchdowns. So it's close, but I feel like Jameis is a little better than Tyrod. But maybe the Chargers is just like, dude, we don't want to deal with Jameis. Like, this is a transition year or whatever. So we'll just go with like a veteran who's like boring, but like we'll get the job done, quote unquote. I don't know. I mean, just to bring it back to the Patriots, it's going to be interesting. I find it that interesting that so Bruce Arians is like this reputation as like a player's coach where he's like, you know, he just lets people have fun and, you know, isn't super strict. It's hilarious that, you know, in this quote unquote divorce that Brady had with Belichick, that he just, his next coach is just the complete opposite, basically like a total players coach, total chill vibe, total bro. It's interesting that he's obviously just fed up with the quote unquote Patriots way and Belichick's whole like strategy and mindset of total unemotional, you know, we're not going to give any appreciation over the top. We're just focused on the next game. After 20 years, I mean, you probably just get tired of that shit. It basically seems what he did. He's like, I'm tired of this. Whatever. I'm going somewhere else. But I mean, yeah, it's interesting. It's going to be super. It's going to be, like I said, I'm happy that it happened because it just makes next season so much more interesting rather than, like you said, if he just came back to the Patriots, it's like, we know what would have happened. They would have won 11-5 and made it to the playoffs. And, you know, either lost. You know, they probably would have lost. Yeah.
Probably. I mean, who knows?
Who knows? Like, they could have just won the Super Bowl.
I don't know. Like, they can make some extra moves. Like, I think you can't. I mean, they were like the clear Super Bowl favorites for the first like 10 weeks.
Right.
And then they just fell off a cliff. So, I mean, who knows? In other news, we're going to pivot to DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson trade.
Yeah.
Really, really baffling. David Johnson went from the best running back in the league for like 2 years.
Number one fantasy pick.
Yeah. Like to back to, I think, I mean, he was a top three pick for at least 3 years.
Yeah. Because he had the receiving aspect too.
And like for, and it was only like, it only worked out for one the first year. And the next two, he immediately got hurt. And then he got hurt again. And he was just, he got benched for Kenyon Drake and all these other guys. And he just fell off a cliff. And he's just awful. He's been awful. And so the Cardinals, you know, decided to somehow get value from him. And let me just get the exact trade. Where is this motherfucker?
Yeah,
oh, here we go.
Yeah, all right, go so ahead.
Cardinals trade David Johnson, 2020 second round pick and a 2021 fourth round pick to the Texans for Hopkins and a 2020 fourth round pick. I mean, the Cardinals get like easily a top three wide receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, without question.
And I mean, I don't know how
they gave up basically their backup running back. Like, wow.
Yeah.
Big deal. You know,
I mean, Hopkins is just like amazing. Apparently Hopkins was saying that Coach Bill O'Brien was comparing him to like Aaron Hernandez.
That was crazy. Yeah. That was crazy. Like, geez. Yeah. Man. Like why? Yeah. It was something like some quote that like Bill O'Brien sat him down for a meeting and was like, you know, I haven't had to have like a meeting like this or like a sit down like this with a player since like Aaron Hernandez, because Bill O'Brien used to be a part of the Patriots coaching staff. It's like, if that's true, like how tone deaf can you be, dude? Like you have to basically say like, hey man, the last time I had to deal with someone like you, that guy was a serial killer.
The murderer.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, all right, relax. Like what did DeAndre Hopkins do that was so bad? Like, I never heard anything. It's not like he's one of the quote unquote diva receivers.
Yeah, apparently, like, he was bringing, like, his quote-unquote baby mamas to practice.
Oh, and that was another thing? It's confusing, though, because, okay, that's what Michael Irvin said, I think, on, like, First Take earlier this week, right? He said the whole thing, the Aaron Hernandez thing, and he said, like, that Bill O'Brien told DeAndre Hopkins, like, listen, you have, like, whatever, however many kids he has with however many different women. And these, first of all, I was confused about, like, so these players, like, they're the either their wives or their girlfriends or their quote unquote baby mamas are at like the practice facility. Like when, I don't even understand, like, why would that ever even happen? Like it's practice. It's
yeah,
practice
I know it. Yeah. It's I have work. No idea.
Like it's like people's wives don't come to their like workplace, like their office, you know, for a normal job. So that was kind of confusing. But then DeAndre Hopkins came out and said, like, I don't know if he quote unquote, like, denied that Michael Irvin report, or he kind of just downplayed and said like, whatever, I'm moving on. So who knows, the truth is probably somewhere in between. It's clear that, well, it just comes down to Bill O'Brien. Like, what is this guy's problem? He is the GM and the coach, which is like, okay, how is that even? I mean, I think we've talked about it before on like probably one of our earlier podcasts, like how is it, we definitely 1000% did, so we don't have to go into the whole like how the hell is this guy the GM and the coach. But it's kind of like, how the hell is this guy the GM and the coach? Like, he traded Clowney and traded DeAndre Hopkins for, like, peanuts, basically. And another thing was, okay, DeAndre Hopkins apparently wanted to renegotiate his contract, even though he's under contract for a couple more years. But it's like, okay, like, then why not just, like, renegotiate the deal with him? And on the flip side, it's like, or if you just don't want to renegotiate the deal, you could just tell him, dude, like, we're not going to renegotiate the deal. And, like, basically force his hand. Like, are you going to sit out the next three seasons that you're under contract? Like, it's kind of, or maybe he pulled the NBA player move and demand a trade. But I don't think the idea of like, oh, well, you know, the best receiver in football arguably has, you know, 3 years left on his contract. He wants to renegotiate his deal, so we had to trade him. I don't really know if that logic really, really holds up that well, to be honest.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's just phenomenal, because I can't wait to see. I mean, Hopkins has had such bad luck in Houston when it comes to quarterbacks and just offensive schemes. Now he gets to go with an up-and-coming star in Kyler Murray and a very talented offensive mind in Cliff Kingsbury.
Yes.
And I think that's going to be phenomenal. And he's going to have it's not like he's the only one there. He also has, what's his face?
Christian Kirk, Larry Fitz.
Yeah. So they got some talent there. So that's just going to be phenomenal for them. And they get rid of David Johnson, so they don't even have to like think of playing him. Even though they kind of just like ended up just not giving a fuck. They're like, I don't care like how much we're paying him and how like what his name is. He's just not good anymore.
Right.
So we're just gonna, you know, just take the hit and, you know, move on.
And I'm pretty sure they either they signed one way or the other, whether it was a franchise tag or like they a new contract, like they signed Kenyon Drake, so they still have him. And like he did, I'm looking at stats now, like in eight games, he had 643 yards, 5.2 yards a carry. He even had like
say the touchdowns.
Yeah, eight touchdowns.
Eight touchdowns.
In how eight many games? So basically over the course of a season, so he had 800 yards for a scrimmage. Over the course of the season, he was on pace for 1,600 total yards and 16 touchdowns. Like, damn.
Yeah.
And so that goes to show. And look, we're not going to pretend that like we're hardcore Arizona fucking Cardinals fans. I don't know what the truth
is. I was a bit. I had Kyler Murray last year.
Right. So you're rooting for him. So you were locked in. Right. But it's like, I don't understand like why. It's kind of hard for David Johnson to make the excuse of like, oh, I'm on a crappy team and like our offense sucks and they're not using me the right way when Kenyon Drake just comes in from the Dolphins and starts falling out, you know? Yeah. So it's like kind of hard to make that excuse.
Yeah. It's a great point. Yeah. So, I mean, the Texans are just going to be in trouble.
What, like if you're Deshaun Watson, like what do you talk about NBA guys and like demanding a trade? Like why wouldn't he just demand a trade? Like I know, maybe it's not in his personality, but like so you just trade away my best receiver, and like now I have to
has like Will Fuller, who's like plays Stills. Like four games. Yeah,
it's like Jesus. And meanwhile, it's like their off. I know their offensive line got better when they traded for Tunsil, but it's not like he's like he must have been so pissed, you know? Like I don't understand like how could you do that? This is just a perfect example of like someone having too much power. It's like. In a normal scenario, okay, the coach and the star player don't get along. There's some friction. There's some tension. That's when, like, the GM steps in and is like, you know, either we have to work this out or he meets with them separately and it's like, look, neither of you are going anywhere, so we're just going to deal with this and figure this out. But when the coach is a GM, he's just like, oh, I'm mad at this guy. Let me just trade him. It's like, Jesus Christ. And it's not like the Texans have been, like, underperforming. Under Bill O'Brien, it's not because that's a weird thing. It's not like they suck every year, but like at a certain point, it's like, dude, like how can you really keep defending this guy? At least just be like, if you're the owner, just like, hey man, you could keep coaching, but we're gonna like get a GM. Like I don't think that's a ridiculous thing to say.
So yeah, so pivoting again, the. Or at least the Vikings traded Stephon Diggs finally. Finally, the Bills. So the full trade was Stephon Diggs and a 2020 seventh round pick to the Buffalo Bills for a 2020 first round pick, fifth round pick, and sixth round pick, in addition to a 2021 fourth round pick. So I really like this trade for the Bills. I mean, Diggs has been super unhappy. He's probably like the biggest diva in the NFL. I know we both had him on our fantasy teams, and he was just like so frustrating to own.
He was. Yeah. He had like a B+ season, but like it started off as like a D- season.
The thing is, like fantasy wise, like the thing is that he would be so bad that you would bench him, and then when you would bench him, he would go for three touchdowns and 150 yards. So like he basically just did nothing for you.
Yeah,
you were just like it was just an emotional roller coaster. And I'm looking at his numbers, which is really surprising.
They ended up good, man. They ended up good.
He had the most receiving yards in his career last year. Can you believe that? I can't believe that.
Well, because like, when I drafted him, either before I drafted him or after I drafted him, I'm like, okay, you know, like I know Stephon Diggs, like obviously just watching
super
football
talented.
All the time. Yeah, and it's like, well, I don't know, it's like, but that's exactly what I did. I went to like Pro Football Reference. I'm like, what's the story with this guy? Let's see. And like, it's like he's not quite like a number one. He's like an overqualified number two receiver, in my opinion. Because like you said, he just had a career year which was like 1,100 yards and what, like eight touchdowns or something like that? It might have been more.
Six.
So like 1,100 yards and six touchdowns, and that's the best season of your career. He's still young, like he's 26, but it's like that doesn't scream like I'm a stud number one, no doubt about it receiver, you know? But what thing is that he is, just another quick point, so he has one, two, three, four more years under contract. So that's why they got such a huge return for him. The Vikings did, because he's at $11 million for this season, $11 million, $11 million, $11 million. So he's on a really good contract, but it's just the same thing with DeAndre Hopkins. Like DeAndre Hopkins is on like a pretty good contract too. So it's like, if you were trying to defend, which nobody was, but if you were trying to like give the Texans the benefit of the doubt for like the return that they didn't get for DeAndre Hopkins, then like, what was it, a couple of hours later or literally the next day, Stephon Diggs gets traded and gets like the Vikings get a huge return. So it's like, okay, like what the hell was going on? Like DeAndre Hopkins has 3 years left on his contract at like slightly more than Stephon Diggs, but he's like clearly better than Diggs. So it's not like you can even say his contract is worse. His contract's probably better than Diggs. And he has one less year on his contract than Diggs did, but it, it just hammers home the point that the Texans didn't even get close to enough in return. But yeah, I like the move for the Bills too. It's like, okay, now they have, they have another weapon for Josh Allen while Josh Allen is still under his rookie contract. So, I mean, if you're a Bills fan, like, you have to be pretty pumped about that. I know you gave up a lot of draft capital, but you know, you're in win now mode basically before you have to decide, are we going to give Allen like a big contract or not?
Yeah. I mean, and looking at Diggs, he had 50% less targets, but more yards than the previous year. So we had 94 targets this previous year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this current year, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And then 150 the past year, but he had more yards. But he had three less touchdowns. And I think Josh Allen will be good for him. I think it'll be a nice combo. Diggs is more of like a deep ball threat guy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he made John Brown
yeah.
finally break out. I mean, it took so long, like on the Cardinals, like – Jesus, it took him forever. Like John Brown always had the talent, but could never put it together. Yeah. And finally, Josh Allen, you know, made things work with him. And I think, you know, him with, I forgot it, Clay. I don't think Clay's even relevant anymore. Yeah. They have the tight end.
They have Singletary. They have, well, Cole Beasley is like their quote unquote, you know, your classic white receiver slot guy. So, I mean, they have, and Singletary with the running back, like they have a decent amount of weapons at this point for Josh Allen. I mean, you wonder, obviously, we were talking about before with, you know, the Patriots, is this going to be the year that the Bills win the division? Could you even imagine that scenario that the Bills win the AFC East? Even in NBA baseball, like I'm just always, I'm so bad at like divisions. I'm like, who the hell's in this conference and who is get rid of divisions. But yeah, it is the AFC East. Like it's just finally the year that the Bills went 10-6 last year, and you assume, hey, they had Diggs. Like, can they go 11-5? It will be interesting. That I don't think is the world ready for that moment where the Patriots don't win the AFC East. I mean, it will be crazy to think about.
They're gonna have to be.
Yeah, you might have to
if they're gonna have Andy Dalton at the
at the helm
at the front. Yeah, I mean, good luck. I mean, I think Jameis is just like a better version of Andy Dalton, better and younger version of Andy Dalton with more role potential. But yeah, we touched on that before.
I think just to sum up for both of us, we both like to trade for the Bills, it seems like. And I guess for the Vikings, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he was bad in the locker room and they're just like, this dude doesn't want to play for us anymore for whatever reason. Like, let's just trade him. Like, I don't think if you're a Bills fan, if you're a Vikings fan, you're probably a little bit mad, or depending on what your opinion of Diggs was, but it's hard to get too bummed out when you get like such a great return, and especially like immediate, like a lot of 2020 picks, like in this NFL draft, if it even happens. So it's not like you have to wait like 4 years from now for these theoretical draft picks. Like they could still draft a couple good rookies that can make immediate impacts. So, you know, it's sort of like one of a like win-win trades, basically.
Right. So the other news was, you know, just supporting how running backs just don't matter.
Yeah.
The Rams cut Todd Gurley.
See ya.
And it's really incredible because Todd Gurley was just a force the previous 2 years, just like absolute monster. The Rams look like the next franchise that we're just going to just run it for the next couple of years, and they never even got one Super Bowl ring. McVay looked phenomenal, and next thing you know, it's like just all falling apart. Last year they significantly underperformed from the quarterback position to the wide receivers to obviously Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley just had arthritis in his knee, starting from that Super Bowl game, and people were questioning like what's going on with him
instead of him.
yeah. And next thing you know, like the next season, he's playing, but he's just not nearly as explosive or effective in neither the running game or the passing game. So the Falcons actually picked up Gurley for a 1-year, $5 million deal. And I don't mind it. I think there's not much risk to it because it's only $5 million and it's only a year. So might as well just like, you know, just play your cards because I think he's only 26. I think Gurley's only 26. So, you know, why not? Like, I think he'll be fine. Just fine. Like, he's not going to be Gurley that we once knew. He might be a little bit better on a better offense, but I mean, it's just amazing how like these teams are still paying these running backs. I mean, we just saw the two top running backs either get cut or traded for nothing in David Johnson and Gurley. So it doesn't bode well for, you know, guys who might be thinking of like holding out like Christian McCaffrey or Saquon Barkley. Like if you this is like the worst case scenario for them to get like a nice fat contract. And Melvin Gordon also got like his contract. He's on the Broncos.
Yeah.
For $8 million. So basically it's holdout did shit. And instead, Austin Eckler.
Yeah, the Chargers basically chose Eckler over Gordon.
Oh yeah. So Eckler signed a 4-year $25 million extension, $15 million guaranteed. So that's not a bad contract. I think he was phenomenal last year. I don't think he's a receiving threat and
a rushing threat. Yeah, I mean, he's not, but they at least you could say if you're the Chargers, like we didn't quote unquote, unless he turns to trash, which is not going to happen most likely. It's not like they grossly overpaid or anything like that.
Right. It's fair. I mean, Eckler was, according to PFF, he had a receiving grade of 93.6 last year, which was the second best mark for a running back since PFF ever began grading.
Wow.
So that's pretty awesome. But he's just super, super versatile and good things happen when he's on the field. So, I mean, I think that for the Chargers, that's a good move. They didn't fall into, Melvin Gordon's tactics, and he probably looks very embarrassed right now.
I mean, they didn't pull Jerry Jones with Zeke. Like, they didn't give in to the holdout.
Right.
Like, our running back's holding out. Oh, no. Like, we better give him a bunch of money. Like, the Cowboys kind of screwed themselves by doing that. Like, they gave Zeke the big contract, and then they lost Byron Jones, their cornerback, to the Dolphins. It's like they got they gave Amari Cooper his big contract, but, like, they're renegotiating for every nickel and dime with Dak. It's like, yeah, that's what happens when you, like, pay a running back a bunch of money that – I saw some stat that was basically what is the yearly – salary for the 10th highest paid player at a position, right? So how much does the 10th highest paid wide receiver make? Quarterback, you get the point. And the only positions that the 10th highest paid running back was higher than was kicker and punter. This was like $6 million, I think. It's like, wow. Teams are just realizing like why there's no, and there's something crazy, like every running back that got drafted in Todd Gurley's draft, which to your point, he's not that old. He's 25, turning 26 this summer. Only got drafted like a few years ago. None of those running backs are on their team. More to your point, who did he get signed by? The Falcons. The Falcons just released Devontae Freeman with 3 years left on his contract. He was another one where it's like, oh man, we have this great running back. Let's give him a big contract because he's been balling out. That didn't work out. Todd Gurley didn't work out. Zeke, you know, like I said, it's making things harder for the Cowboys to keep other good players that they have. It's just, and exactly like you're saying, like, I don't even know what do the Giants do when it's time to give Saquon money. It's like, fuck it, like, trade him. I don't know. Like, it sucks to say. Saquon's a beast, but, like, why are you going to give a running back, like, $10 million a year? When you, it's a hard cap in the NFL. Like, you only have so much money to give around. When you could get, it's like, and every year we see it, whether it's fantasy, however you follow the NFL, where did Austin Eckler come from? You know, like, he just came out of nowhere. I mean, obviously, like, not this past season, I mean, but the season before, he was still solid. But I'm saying, like, even when he came onto the scene in 2018, 2019.
No one expected that.
He wasn't on the radar. It's every year, like, some random running back on some random team has, like, a beast season. It's like the...
I mean, Kenyon Drake. Yeah. Kenyon Drake was phenomenal. And, like, we knew the talent was there, but, like, he just... I mean, on Miami, like, with the head coach, the system, and it, they just wouldn't give him the snaps.
Right.
And... finally, the Cardinals let him loose, and he finally showcased his talent that we all thought he had. He actually exceeded expectations. He was just absolutely just torching defenses, and like some of the top defenses, they weren't even like, you know, just these mediocre teams.
Yeah,
yeah. So like he really showed, you know, what he's capable of. So I mean, there's and they got him for like nothing. They got him for nothing. So that was a great another great move by the Cardinals. So the Cardinals are really making moves. I really like what they're doing.
And what about Derrick Henry? More to the point of like, what the hell's going on with running backs? The Titans just franchise tagged him. They're like, whoops. Yeah, you think? And obviously, you can franchise tag, and then there's like whatever. I think you have till July 15th to negotiate a contract before like the franchise tag goes into effect. So it's like, I guess they could still negotiate a long term deal for him. But their first instinct was like, let's just franchise tag this guy. Like, why not?
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, if you're a running back, I think maybe I said it before, but if you let your son play running back, that's basically tantamount to child abuse at this point. I mean, how could it not be? Like, just play a different position, dude. Play linebacker, play defensive line, play something. Don't play running back, like arguably the most dangerous position. You're like a human battering ram, and you get paid the least amount of money. It's like it's a lose-lose. And it's
like you have like a 3-year window when you're like 21 to 24.
You're making $3 million a year.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like when you're like you're at your prime, when you're in your prime as a running back, you're getting like paid the least. And then when you're like sort of like exiting it out, like when you're 24, 25, 26, 27, like no one wants to pay you.
Yeah.
So pretty much like for your best ball, like you don't even get paid for, you know, what you produce.
It's the worst case scenario.
In all of sports.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really tough.
It's not even really tough. Because you could compare them to, obviously, as we've done before, and we're not the first ones to make the point, like centers, like post-up centers in the NBA. But there's still post-up centers in the NBA that like make money. And, you know, obviously you want them to have other skills besides just being like a back-to-the-basket, old-school type post player. But it's like, you know, they still can get like a $10 million a year contract. You know what I'm saying? It's like, they're not going completely extinct. Whereas it seems like NFL teams for the most part are like, we are just not going to give running backs big contracts.
I mean, it's so tough. Cause like the running backs, it's not like these guys are, you know, just out of reach of like a top 10 guy. Like these are the elite. So it's like so tough. Cause like, let's say, like imagine like, having like the Danian Thomason at like 23, 24 years old and being like, I don't know, like this is when the running backs usually fall off. And then, you know, you're like, all right, we'll just trade him for like a couple nickels. And then he ends up being, you know, who he is. And then you like kind of get fucked out of that. So, I mean, I think there's like right now we're having basically a market correction for running backs. So I think I'm wondering if like Christian McCaffrey and Barkley will sort of, you know, change the stance on that. But I mean, it's so tough because like just how recently Gurley looked like an all-timer. He was just absolutely incredible.
And obviously that was injuries related, like you said, his decline.
Yeah. Yeah. It was injury related. So, I mean, and it's not like the injuries are going to go away. Like this is the most violent sport in sports at the, you know, the most physical position. So it's just a really tough market right now. And I think teams aren't going to be willing to pay running backs, especially right now and for the next, like, at least 2 or 3 years. So what's going to happen with McCaffrey is going to be really interesting. I'm surprised, like, Zeke held out and actually got his money.
So I'm looking at and I agree with you. I think Saquon and McCaffrey are going to be like the two cases to see, like, where is this really going to go with running backs getting paid. But I have Zeke's contract. I'm looking at it now. I brought it up. So he makes $7 million this year, which is like, okay, nothing crazy. And the year after, in 2021, he makes 9.6, which is like, all right, you know, getting up there, especially for a running back. In 2022, he makes 12.4, and then after that, he has 4 years and $50 million left on his contract. But I'm reading it now. It says, quote unquote, potential out. And there, it could be $6.7 million of dead cap. Like, wouldn't you be shocked if so Zeke comes off his year 27 season, right? Let's say he's still, pretty good. He's still a quote unquote top five running back in the league. Like, would it be shocking if the Cowboys are just like, okay, you have 4 years, $50 million left, and those are your 28, 29, 30, 31 seasons, and we can just cut you and just only have $7 million of dead cap? Like, I wouldn't be shocked at all if that ends up happening. Now, it's Jerry Jones, so it's like, who knows? But that's the type of decisions that sound crazy, but if you tell a team, hey, you have this big running back on this huge contract and you can get out of it and only have $7 million of dead cap, which is apparently the situation that you know, spot rack, however the hell you pronounce it, is saying, I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen with Zeke.
Mm-hmm. how old is Zeke? 25?
Yeah, well, next season will be his year 25 season. Yep. So he's still young, but exactly what you're saying. It's like when they're coming to their quote unquote prime, you know, their mid 20s to their late 20s, arguably maybe running backs primes are even earlier in their early 20s. That's when they expect to be like, oh, I'm going to start making really solid money now, like every other athlete, basically. And it's like, nope, now's the time that we're going to kick you to the curb and just basically draft a guy in the second round who's going to be like 80% as good as you for $600,000. It's crazy times. Yeah,
I mean, the key for a running back is, like, in this day and age, is to find someone who can also catch the ball.
Oh, 100%. It's, I mean, like, almost non-negotiable.
Yeah, because, like, Derrick Henry is the exception just because he's just, like, a physical specimen.
Right.
And most of them are, but he's just, like, he's just this monster. He's, like, 6'6". No, he's six. I think he's 6'4". But that's huge for a running back.
If you can rush for 1,500 yards, then, like, it's fine. If you're not also a beast catching the ball, is the point. But how many running backs can consistently put up 1,500 yards year after year, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then, you know, Titans also franchise tagged Derrick Henry. But it's really, like, also, like, if you look at, like, Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, well,
the Steelers basically, obviously, you know, Le'Veon Bell notoriously held out for the season, and James Conner took over and just was phenomenal.
Yeah,
as his replacement, and when Le'Veon Bell was hurt, D'Angelo Williams was phenomenal in his absence. So Le'Veon Bell is kind of like a product of the system, the Steelers system. Like, people underlook that, and overlook that.
Another thing is, and I mean, to that point, is apparently, like, the Jets offensive line is a train wreck. So it's hard to, you don't want to judge a player in their best quote unquote situation. Like you're saying, the Steelers, they just have a great team year after year. They're always really solid, good system. They always normally have a really good or pretty good offensive line. But then you don't want to say, okay, that shows that Le'Veon, you don't want to, basically my point, you don't
compare,
want to judge players
the best and the worst.
Yeah, he's somewhere in the middle of what he was on the Steelers and what he was this past season on the Jets. But it just goes more to the point of, okay, the Steelers took the Chargers route with Melvin Gordon. You're going to hold out? Well, tough shit, dude. You're not going to, like, strong arm us into giving you a big contract. Like, either play for us, or if you don't, that's fine. You could go sign with another team, and we'll have Austin Eckler, or we'll have James Connors, and they're going to do either just as good or better than you for half the price. So, I mean, it's just tough for running backs. Like I said, if you let your son play running back, you are basically a child abuser, and Child Protective Services should take your kid away.
I mean, the thing is, like, if they like, people just say, like, all right, you're not going to play running back, you're going to play quarterback, wide receiver instead.
Yeah.
Then there's going to be, like, no, a running back drought, and then people will be like, all right, well, if you can make it to the NFL, you're going to have to play running back and to get this money. So then they end up playing running back.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. But I mean, I think we touched on the majority.
I mean, there's, like, other, I mean, like, smaller ones where it's like, okay,
I can't believe, yeah. I can't believe the Raiders signed Jason Witten. Like, how is this guy still playing football?
Yeah.
For 1 year, a $4.5 million deal.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, honestly, good for him. That's solid money for like, what is he, like, it 500 is. Years old? It's unbelievable. And it's,
I think he's 600.
And it's funny. It's like John Gruden is going to be his coach when they were both in, not they were, they weren't both in the Monday Night Football booth together, but they've both been Monday Night Football announcers. And now, I guess he's 37, but it's like it's not like he's like,
he's
a beast.
Oh, that's like, yeah, that's so old in football years.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. And you know who, he, I mean, I'm sure he'll be decent, but it's just like, it's weird. I mean, it just other like little news and notes is like AJ Green got franchise tagged by the Bengals. I mean, I guess it's you want to see AJ Green on like a contender. Obviously he's coming back from injuries, but if the Bengals get Joe Burrow, you know, then it's like, okay, wait a second. Maybe we have something here.
I mean, since we're talking about AJ Green, I think he's overrated.
Okay.
I think he's overrated. I think he's just out of his prime. He hasn't been really elite. Like people perceive him as still this like top 10 guy. Mm-hmm. I don't even think he's a top 10. Like there's so many good wide receivers now. Like he's just not top 10.
That's true.
And I mean, he keeps getting injured.
He had like a decent, what? I know what you're saying. Like he's been struggling with injuries, but it's like, I'm looking at his last year. Like you're saying, he is 30. Top 10. You're probably right. He's probably not a top 10 receiver, but he might be,
I think he's back in top 20.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably. Cause I mean, last year, you know, nine games, he's playing for the Bengals. It's not, he's got Andy Dalton throwing to him. It's not like he's on this juggernaut offensive team. In nine games, he had 700 yards receiving and six touchdowns. So like over a course of a 16 game season, what is that like? 1,300 yards, 12 touchdowns. I mean, still really solid, but it'll be interesting to see what he looks like with Joe Burrow throwing in the ball because, you know, obviously the Bengals are probably going to draft Burrow. I highly doubt that they trade down from that spot. And then, I mean, Phil Rivers to the Colts. It's like, I mean, right. I guess. I don't know.
Sure.
He didn't look good last year, to be honest. He honestly looked worse than Brady. So it's like, all right, he goes to the Colts, and the Colts were supposed to be before Andrew Luck just – pieced out. They were supposed to be this you know, dark horse Super Bowl contender, and so it's like they have a good roster, but I guess, but isn't that an indictment of Jacoby Brissett that they're basically like, yeah dude, we're gonna take Phil Rivers over you? You know, it just really shows that they're not really, and I know Jacoby Brissett got hurt last year, but even when he's healthy, I wasn't necessarily, like you said, he's a game manager, so I guess, I mean, we'll see.
I mean, he's like Alex Smith. He was fine. Yeah. Like, he didn't kill you, and he didn't. He was just like a net neutral. He wasn't a positive or really a negative.
It's just gonna be weird seeing like quarterbacks, like you know, Phil Rivers in a Colts uniform and Brady in a Bucks uniform, and who knows what uniform Cam Newton will be in, and who knows about Jameis, and even Nick Foles got a. He got traded to the Bears. It's just a lot of randomness going on. It's almost like the NFL is moving a little more towards the NBA of like player movement and big name players just going to random teams every single offseason.
Yeah. I mean, that's what kind of makes it exciting though.
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, as a fan for sure, following it, it's like awesome.
That's why people love the NBA, 'cause there's so much change. But apparently, looking at the odds to sign Cam Newton, the Redskins are minus 105.
Mm-hmm.
So they are the favorites right now. And the Patriots are plus 340. So that would be really weird seeing Cam Newton on the Redskins.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Dwayne Haskins did not really show much last year. But...
It's not in a great situation to like show your true talent. I'm not a huge Dwayne Haskins guy, but it's tough.
Yeah, I mean, he came in like mid-season when they were doing terrible. Like they had a historically bad defense, and their offense had like no weapons. So it was just a bad scenario for him to go in. But I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. I'm not too excited. Yeah. Like obviously, talking about the Redskins is not.
Yeah. I don't want Cam to go to the Redskins. Fuck that.
Yeah, that's not exciting at all.
I mean, I saw a tweet from a Redskins beat writer, and he basically said what we were talking about before, that like there's no way that the Redskins are going to trade for Cam, but like he thinks like, okay, if it would to happen, it would only be because like they're signing him after the Panthers release him. So that seems to be like the most likely outcome. for no matter where he ends up. But even like, dude, just talking about quarterbacks, like it just really, it's the total juxtaposition of running backs. It's like, I'm looking at Rivers' contract, $13 million base salary, $12 million signing bonus. Like, boom, he's 38 and he's going to get $25 million. It's like when he's like quasi, if not completely washed up. Ryan Tannehill, what he got like a 118 million dollar contract. And now it's the same thing. Okay, everyone relax. We said it before. We understand that like NFL contracts are not completely guaranteed, blah, 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 blah. But it's like, I saw something. It's like out of that $118 million, like 90 is like the total guarantee and like 64 is like fully guaranteed. I don't know what the hell the difference is between a full guarantee and a total guarantee, but you tell me Ryan Tannehill's getting $64 million completely guaranteed, like worst case scenario. I mean, geez. He looked really good last year for the Titans, but it just goes to show like quarterbacks are where the money's at with no doubt about it. It's like, you don't even have to be like one of the best ones to get like $25 million a year. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's bizarre. Like, and like going like for Tannehill, he like there's just not a big enough sample size for him to prove that he deserves that contract whatsoever. The big sample size shows that he absolutely does not deserve that contract. And even though he played like phenomenal at the end of the 2019 season, I just don't see like why not just like, I don't know, give him like a one-year deal.
Franchise tag him. Why not do that? Yeah.
I mean, that's just bizarre. That's just bizarre. I just don't understand. Like, they were doing so well. They were doing so well. And they just gave him too much money. Like, everyone knew that he was going to be signed, but not to this extent, like this amount of money.
I mean,
it's just a lot of risk.
Yeah, it is a lot of risk. And I think it would have been just smarter for them just to franchise tag and be like, okay, like prove it again. Like if you repeat it, like you said, over a full big sample size, full season, great. Then we'll give you, you know, you've shown that this is your new level as a player and you are a really good quarterback. Yeah. We're going to pay you like that. But you didn't have to, it felt weird just to jump the gun so early. I mean, just going to more quarterback contracts, Teddy Bridgewater, like how many starts does he have in the NFL? Like 20? And he just for the Panthers, he just signed 3 years, $63 million. It's just like, wow, it's crazy. I mean,
even backup quarterbacks are getting in on this. Brown signed Case Keenum to $10 million guaranteed.
Yo, it's crazy.
3 year, $18 million.
Backup quarterback.
$10 million guaranteed.
Backup quarterback is really that's the peak. I mean, it doesn't get better. There's no better life than that. A backup quarterback in the NFL, like Chase Daniels still getting money. He's made like, what, 3 starts in his career? I mean, Drew Brees just signed for $25 million. It's like, geez, man. These guys are living.
And none of them are good. Yeah, none of them are good. They're all bad.
Like the backup quarterbacks. Yeah, of course. Like they're not.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not good. And they still can just make over the course of their career like $60 million by like starting no games. And just like that is to imagine, dude, you get paid that much and you just like go into the facility and like, you know, hey guys, let's, you know, get some reps. You just run around and throw some passes at practice and then just have a clipboard on the sideline. You make $8 million that year. Yeah, it's not a bad life. You don't have to get concussions and get your head chopped off on the field.
You have low expectations because you're the backup. Yeah, so like, no matter what you do on the field, it's just like, whatever.
That's a great point.
It's like, oh, we expected that. It's like, oh, he didn't throw 3 interceptions, only 2. So we'll take it.
Yeah, I mean,
like, if you throw like 1 touchdown, like, you're getting fucking, you know, $30 million guaranteed over the 5 years.
Right,
like
right.
1 touchdown per game.
Yeah, it's like, wow.
You'd throw like 2 interceptions. If you average 1 touchdown and like 2 interceptions per game, you will get that guaranteed money. Yeah. It's just history. It's just facts.
Kirk Cousins was another one. Like, I'll look it up now. Like, what the hell did he? I know we're sort of Kirk Cousins defenders. And it's like people rag on him.
2 years, $66 million. Yeah.
Yeah. But people rag on him a little too hard, but like just 2 years, $66 million. Like, it's crazy. It is crazy, man. It's crazy.
And they got rid of, Diggs too.
Yeah. So it's like how he's, and like we said, they got the draft picks, but how's he going to look without, I mean, his number two receiver, basically. So that'll be interesting. I know the Cowboys franchise tagged, Dak. Cause apparently the thing is like Dak's asking for like $40 million guaranteed. You know, $40 million a year. Like, he's asking for Patrick Mahomes money. But I guess his argument is, you know, if there's, I don't know when the, apparently it's coming up in the next couple of years, the new TV deal for the NFL. And it's like, that's going to be like $1 trillion per year to all these networks paying the NFL to broadcast the games, and all that money is going to go to the team owners and things like that. So he's saying like, hey man, if the cap's going to go up and there's going to be all this money flooding into the NFL, I'm not going to sign like a deal that 2 years later looks like a bargain, even if right now it sounds like ridiculous that Dak Prescott would get $40 million a year. Like, is that what it's going to be like 5 years from now? Like, crappy quarterbacks get $50 million a year? You know, like, where does this end? I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, they're just getting lucrative money. It's just insane. Insane.
I mean, I did see just on another quick news and notes, like the Amari Cooper got signed for like $20 million a year to the Cowboys, which, I mean, they had to sign him back, of course. I mean, he's their number one receiver. And I saw there was a report, speaking of like the Redskins, how they suck. Nobody wants to talk about them. Apparently, the Redskins offered Amari Cooper more money than the Cowboys did, but he just still signed with the Cowboys. I mean, that's when you know, like, you're a joke of an organization. When athletes, and who knows what the exact numbers were, how much money more was it? But when a player is like, oh, I will just go to this other team for less money rather than play for you guys.
Wait, which team offered him
more? The Redskins.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I would take that difference too. Like,
yeah,
fuck, would I rather play for the Cowboys for less money? Because the Redskins was a shit show with Dwayne Haskins throwing you the ball. Or possibly Cam Newton, but even still, I would not want that.
Yeah, no, not
at all. But yeah, I mean, Cooper was amazing last year. I also would like to see him do it for one more year, because the previous 2 years, like, he led the league in drops.
He was underwhelming.
He was very underwhelming, but the talent was always there. But he finally did put it together last year. Him and Dak had great chemistry. And I think he's going to be well. I think like the talent is there, so you are betting on the talent. But I mean, 5 years is a long time, but he is still young. I think he's only 24.
Cooper, yeah, I mean, he's young, but it's like, this is the Cowboys. I mean, it's always the Cowboys. Like, we know what's going to happen. Like, they're going to go 9-7. But if you look at them, it's like they are they're loaded. Like, they have Michael Gallup, they have Cooper, they have Pollard and Zeke at running back. It's like they have obviously their solid offensive line, but it's just, you know,
they finally got rid of Witten.
Yeah, they got rid of Witten. But I mean, we know the story of the Cowboys. It's like, yeah, next year they're gonna go 9-7, and either they're gonna sneak into the playoffs and like lose in the first round, or they're just gonna barely miss the playoffs. It's like, you can set your clock to it. Like, the same shit happens to the Cowboys basically every single year. I mean, the only one more minor thing, the only thing that I could think of for NFL that really to touch on is the Saints got Emmanuel Sanders. I think that could like prove to be a pretty big pickup. I mean, not to say that he's like a number one receiver, but he could be your number two behind Michael Thomas.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty interesting. Obviously, Emmanuel Sanders is coming off an Achilles injury, and he played well in the at first, but he definitely regressed late in the season. So I don't know. We'll see. He's getting definitely on the older side, and
yeah, for sure.
Same with Drew Brees, but I think he's a good fit for Drew Brees because Emmanuel Sanders isn't really a downfield threat, but he's more of a slot guy. So he could definitely get those like just quick slants, which is good for Drew Brees's current arm state.
Yeah.
And to say the least. And I mean, obviously it helps Thomas out to stretch the defense a little bit more to get some coverage off of him.
And also just one quick thing, I called Pollard on the Cowboys. But if I did use his first name, I was thinking it was Scott Pollard. It's Tony Pollard, though. But I think Scott Pollard is an NBA player. I said Pollard, yeah, because in my head I was thinking Scott Pollard. I don't think that's right, but yeah, he was a former NBA player. So that was just a little internal dialogue moment where I did use just Pollard. But in my head, I'm like, yeah, I think I have this wrong. But I'm just defending my own brain that I didn't even mention on the podcast. So that was definitely a total needed interruption. So, I mean, what were you saying about the Saints? Yeah, it's like,
I mean, that's pretty much it.
Mike Thomas. Yeah, I mean, it's just I don't know what else we got. There's a little you want to. I guess we could go one of two ways. We could talk about Aaron Judge and the Yankees nonsense quickly, or we could talk about Adam Silver's like idea for like a exhibition game.
All right, I guess we'll dive into Aaron Judge.
Okay. I mean, you take it from here.
You want to knock this out?
You're the expert, though, of his situation. I mean, you've been there, done that. So basically, the report was he has a freaking collapsed lung that he recovered from.
Yeah, so
we didn't know about that.
So yeah, it wasn't. So obviously, Judge has been dealing with a quote unquote rib injury, and it turns out that he actually had a collapsed lung
in addition to the rib
injury. Somewhat, yeah. So I don't really understand how. Oh, it's in addition to the rib injury.
Yeah, okay. Like he still has like whatever this pec, like shoulder broken rib thing going on. But also what we didn't get told, which we just learned, was like this time he had a collapsed lung too. They were like, oh, his collapsed lung's recovered. And everyone was like, wait a second, when did we even know he had a collapsed lung?
Yeah, so basically collapsed lungs, like people who get collapsed lungs, the only people who get collapsed lungs are just like these tall, handsome, good looking guys that
I was like, where the hell is he going?
that are just like susceptible to this terrible injury. I mean, it's really not like terrible. You know,
sounds
you just get
really
surgery
bad.
On it. It sounds really bad. I had the worst because I had to get surgery on it. Like Judge probably the normal scenario is that basically, you know, you just go into a hospital bed, you get a tube stuck into your rib cage, and it'll basically literally just fill up your lung. it'll literally pump it up, and you should be out of the hospital for 3 days.
Oh,
and
really? Wow.
For me, it never did that. So I was in the hospital for like 2 weeks, and then I had to get surgery. So I was in like there for like a total of like 17, 18 days, which sucked. But like I literally had just like a tube inside me, and you can't really do anything because you're just straight up bedside. So it was pretty brutal.
Yeah, do you have like lingering effects from it, like that you feel it, like when like people who like tear their ACL, they can like tell when it's gonna rain because their knee starts tightening them up. Like, do you have stuff like that with your lung?
I mean, I pretty much like had like these like really sharp pains, and I can't do crunches.
Really?
Because basically. Yeah, so like when I crunch down, basically you exhale air, and since there's like a lack of oxygen while your abs are crunched, like it basically like cramps up, and then you have to basically like stretch it all the way out. And so I haven't been able to do crunches since I had the collapsed lung.
Honestly,
so I have to do like hanging leg raises. I know.
Crunches.
I never really like doing crunches. And like every time I do them, I literally, I don't even know what else to call them besides like a cramp, but it's like extreme pain where like you can't really breathe for maybe 10 to 20 seconds, which doesn't seem like a long time until like you
terrible.
Literally just can't breathe for 10 to 20 seconds. Yeah. It's not great.
Like I remember one of
you know, it's just something I live with every day.
Yeah. One of the underrated injuries of all time, it's not even an injury, is back in the day, like getting the wind knocked out of you. How bad was that? That stuff sucked.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I remember one time, I'll never forget, I was playing basketball in my neighbor's driveway, and, like, the ball hit off the rim, and it hit the curb, like, one of those classic, like, hit the curb and then bounces at you, and it hit me perfect in that, like, dead zone to, like, trigger knocking the wind out of you, and it was the worst. For, like, 15 seconds, you just cannot breathe. But then that first breath, when you get air coming in, it just feels, like, golden. Oh. It's almost worth it. Obviously, it's not, but it's like...
And then it just keeps coming in.
Yeah, and it just keeps flowing in. You're like, yes.
It's like...
Back.
You're like a balloon after that.
Yeah, what a weird thing. Yeah, I mean, it's just more Yankees nonsense of like, oh, yeah, it turns out this guy had a way worse injury than we told you about. Surprise. I mean, who knows? Honestly, it might be a blessing in disguise. I mean, with this whole Corona thing, obviously, who knows what's even if the season's even going to happen. But if it does happen in some form, it's like, hey, the Yankees could heal from all their ridiculous injuries that they have. So whatever, looking on the bright side of things, I guess, as the whole world descends into chaos.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe like none of the Yankees actually have the
virus. Yeah, it's a shock of the century. I mean, you would have placed all your money on it if that, 2 months ago, somebody told you, yeah, there's going to be a global pandemic and, you know, it's going to shut down all of sports. You'd be like, okay, well, every one of the Yankees obviously got this. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they get hurt every 2 seconds. It's like it's almost the perfect way to tie a bow on this like past year and a half of Yankees constant injuries. It's like, okay, and the final conclusion was one of them got like a virus that's taking over the world. But somehow, they always surprise us, these guys. Just when you think you got them pinned down, no, they're not going to get this virus. I mean, I don't know. I don't really have much Corona talk to do, but besides, there's people in the NBA. There's Marcus Smart, KD, some people on the Nets, some people on the Nuggets, some people on the Lakers, but they're not going to tell us who, you know. So it's like, yeah, I mean, whatever. Like, just please bring back sports as soon as possible is basically my conclusion about that.
Yeah, I'm not sure, like, what time frame we're looking at.
I know, because it's terrible. It's like, geez, please do not cancel the season. Please, please don't. Please, we're begging you. Don't do it.
Because it's absolutely in the realm of possibilities.
Oh, 100%. Right now. 100%. I mean, people are saying, like, it's 50-50. But you have to think, like, there's just so much really money at stake. Yeah. And both sides, obviously the owners and the players, want it to happen so badly that, like, all incentives are to make it happen in any way possible. So that's the only thing that would, like, give you, like, a glimmer of hope. But yeah, I mean, if you just can't play, you can't play. I guess it's just a wait and see, like, with society as a whole. Is it putting aside sports, I mean, it's just like, we just have to wait and see what happens, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we touched on this last podcast, but basically the Hawks owner, I think it was the owner, said that he suggested moving the season to December and play through August. And this was before the virus happened, that was very serious. So now this gives them, like, pretty much, you know, I don't want to say perfect, because obviously under the circumstances, right, it's not, you know, ideal, but it gives them, like, an easy transition to do this, to where, you know, we start the season in June. I guess.
I mean, and I think June and in August or whenever, but yeah.
Yeah, like mid late June, and in August, because I don't think they're going to really play that many games.
Regular season, if any.
Yeah, so I doubt that actually happens, but then it'll give them, you know, that transition, because it makes sense to start the NBA season, like, on Christmas Day, because Christmas Day is NBA's day, so have, like, the season opener on Christmas Day. That'll be pretty cool. And yeah, I mean,
diehard NBA fans, Christmas feels like opening day.
Yeah, because everyone, like, that's the thing. Like, everyone's just like, NBA doesn't actually start until Christmas happens. So might as well just, like, cut those first that first month or two out and just start it on, you know, Christmas. And this is, like, this will be, like, the good transition for that. But I mean, we'll see. It depends, like, how serious it gets. I think it will. I think within the next, like, 2 weeks we will peak, because we're finally you know, making some big changes obviously to stop this from spreading. It just depends on social distancing. Everything's closing down. The gyms are literally closed, which is terrible. It's just I survived, like, this week, and it's only been Monday. I think I last went to the gym on Monday.
I think I might have been Sunday or Monday. Yeah, right around there.
So, I mean, I lasted, like, a week, but, like,
I'm not going crazy yet.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly.
Like, I survived.
Like, I did, like, I wanted to see how many push-ups I could do in a row. And I think I actually did, like, 65, which is pretty
That's decent. Pretty solid. Yeah. I mean, just straight. Yeah. I mean, that
straight.
Yeah.
Straight.
I would only bet that I could probably do, like, 50. I don't think anything past 50 is just would get extremely hard.
I was pretty much like, yeah, because I was at, like, I don't know what it was. Like, I kept hitting 50 and literally just dying. And it seemed, like, so weird, because it was, like, literally exactly 50. So
it was mental.
I ended up, like, somehow. Yeah, it was mental, and I finally broke through, and now I could do, like, a little 60 plus. So we'll see at the end of this.
You'll be able to do 300 in a row by that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a blessing in disguise. Exactly. Like, look at this, all these home workouts. You know, people are just going to be doing things they never knew was possible. But, I mean, yeah, it's just crazy times. I think people.
It's kind of like, we're living in, like, a fancy jail. Like, we're just, you know, stuck inside.
That's what a house is, a fancy jail.
Yeah. It's like a tease, because, like, you can't, like, being, like, quarantined makes me want to do things even more, because I can't have it, you know? You want what you can't have.
Right, it's like all of a sudden, and, like, oh, man, I really wish I could do some cardio at the gym. But then when the gym's actually open, it's like, bleh, cardio? I'd never do that.
Yeah, or squats or something. Yeah, like, oh, something absurd.
I wish I could do some really good squats, man. I hate squats. I haven't done barbell squats probably in over a year. Like, I'm just done with them. I'm never going to do them again. I could work out my legs in other ways perfectly fine. Thank you very much. And I don't need, like, the hard-o of, like, oh, you're not, you don't really work out unless you do squats, bench, and deadlift. Like, yeah, go to hell. You know what? I can build legs. I can build all those muscle groups without doing exercise that, like, make me want to die. Like, you do a deadlift. Yeah, you do a deadlift, and you're like, literally, like, this is maybe the worst thing that's ever happened to me. And squats are even worse. No, I think deadlifts are the worst, but squats are like, it's just like, this is not fun. Like, who's having fun? This is the worst thing ever. When you get to the bottom and you have to push up and you're like, am I going to die? Is this it? Is this the moment that I'm done? You're terrible.
If like when you're like in that stage where you're like, you're not sure you're going to make it. It's just like,
yeah, it's like that's what hell is. Or it's like that moment where you're like, okay, like obviously you have to push it up and you're going to push it up, obviously. But there's that one moment where it's like, okay, wow, I really need to dig deep here. It's like, but I don't really want to dig deep. Like I'm just here at the gym. I'm not here to like kill myself.
I mean, I think squats are worse because like at least with deadlifts, like if you can't make it to the top, like you could just drop it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, you might like throw up, but like with squats you could also throw up as well.
Yeah, I mean there's so many like, videos of people like passing out when they finish their rep and they just fall down. Those are the worst exercises. And bench, I can never get chest gains from barbell bench. I'm sorry. Incline, sure, but I'm sorry, I'm probably not doing it right. I fully acknowledge that, probably don't have the right form, whatever, but it's just, I'm like, other exercises work just as well, if not better. So I'm like, why am I going to do, it's like, why am I choosing the exercises that are the least enjoyable unless they are by far, no doubt about it, the only effective way to build it, the muscle, you know? And they're not. So I'm like, yeah, I'm good.
It's like so frustrating to me as well. Cause like I can like bench decent, mm-hmm. but like nothing to what I think I should be. Like the amount of times I bench, like I should be benching like a million pounds. Yeah. And it just doesn't work. Like I've tried like benching once a week, benching three times a week, four times a week, and like it's just the same. Like nothing really ever changes. It's just like the most frustrating thing. I'll never forget the biggest chest bump I ever got when I was like 16 years old. I wanted like veins in my arms.
Of course.
I just thought like super, super cool. That was like literally the only reason. I just want like the veins in my arms. So I started working out a little bit and like my little home gym with like two dumbbells,
15 pound dumbbells,
like a little tiny ass bench. And like I was like benching for like one of the first times. And obviously I failed on the bench. So I just had this fucking bar stuck on my chest.
Really? Wow. And I don't think that ever happened.
And like in my basement. And then like, I basically like wrested for like 2 minutes and
with
I
the
ended
bar
up like
on your
pushing
chest?
It with the bar on my chest and pushed it all the way up. And I had like just this massive chest pump and it was just insane. I've never gotten a chest pump before. And that was the only time. And so I'm just going to like try to like replicate that because I don't know how else to do it. Like, so basically I'm just going to try to like kill myself and then just like recover.
That's where you get the peak gains, is when you bring it straight to the edge and then bring it back to life. Yeah. You have to bring yourself right to the edge of like impaling yourself and chopping your head off. And then you'll get a sick pump from bench. That's what it requires. That's why it's so crappy. It's like, if you just do a normal bench set, you're like, okay, great. And then you look at the pump and you're like, yep, looks the same as before. Awesome. Let me keep
doing
this. My
arms look a little bigger.
Yeah, my shoulders definitely feel like I just took the brunt of that with my front delts for sure. So I'm clearly not doing this properly. But yeah, it's like, and then you have to like specialize in order to, exactly what you're saying, in order to like increase the weight, you have to like dedicate your entire lifting regimen around like bench. Like, okay,
yeah,
I'm gonna do 80% partial reps on Monday for it's like you can't even work anything else out. It's gotta be bench every day. So like 3 months from now you could add 20 pounds. Like, yeah, great, I don't want to play this game, I'm opting out.
And like the thing is about like with the incline barbell bench press,
it's
like
great.
If you get like a bad one, you like it. I find it so uncomfortable.
You don't like it? Well, I don't do I don't do like probably the proper wide grip. I just do like a closer grip, and I feel it way more on my chest. But anyway,
I do it. Yeah, I moved closer. Yeah, I moved it closer. I feel it more in my triceps, but also in my inner chest as well. But I mean, it's tough. I don't know. I just like, I haven't found a good incline bench like since college.
You haven't hit the groove
for some reason.
Right. Yeah. Like you're saying, the machine, like you haven't found one that's like set up properly for like whatever your proportions, or you're not exactly sure how to set it up and what grip to use. Yeah, it is a tricky one to figure out, but I feel like I have gotten pretty close. But even then, it's the same thing. Like the pump is not, even when what I'm doing now, and I like the incline bench, I have a Phoenix and you know, I put up solid weight and then I do a few sets. Like there's other exercises that I feel like I get better chest pumps from, but I still do it. Yeah. But I know what you're saying. It's just like, it doesn't give, barbells just in general don't really give the best pump, but I think they do have like a place in like still building muscle. Cause obviously it's not all about the pump, but obviously the pump's awesome, but you can still build muscle. You know, it's not just about the pump. It's just, these are the things. It's just making me more sadder and sadder and sadder. It's like, well, it's great. Let's talk about all this. Okay, now let's go to we can't go to the gym. This sucks.
And then, like, when I like, try to focus on my chest, for some reason, I can't breathe.
You're like, tense
like
up.
Do you ever do that?
Yeah, I know.
Like, saying. I just, like, I'm so focused on just, like, trying to engage my chest so much that like I just can't breathe properly, and I end up like losing breath like mid set, and it's just like so frustrating.
Like no other muscle group is like that. Like you can focus on your biceps and contracting them, right, and it's fine. Shoulders easy. You know, obviously back is like a little harder to sort of focus on, but like you just do the exercises you do and it feels like you're working out your back pretty good. But chest, there is something weird about your chest where it's like, if I really just sort of focus on like, all right, I'm going to isolate my chest here, or not isolate, but you know what I'm saying? Like focus on my chest and trying to get that to move the weight. It's like, you literally stop breathing. It's so true. It's so, like you'll do a set of like dumbbell press and it's just like, I just didn't breathe for the last 30 seconds. Your face is all red and people are like, dude, those dumbbells are like 65 pounds. It's nothing crazy. I'm like, I know it's nothing crazy. It wasn't even that heavy. I just did like 12 reps, but I wasn't breathing. Okay. So that's why I'm all red. Give me a break.
Yeah, I think like I like when I'll do weighted dips, I actually get like a nice stretch.
Oh yeah,
in my
weighted
chest.
Dips is elite. Weighted dips, of what I'm realizing is that obviously, even though it's kind of like a mini version of like deadlifts and squats and bench, when like you finish the set, you feel like, wait a second, did my upper body just crack in half? It's literally
your front delta. Shot.
As soon as you let go and like you step. You like just release from the bars of the dip bench or whatever, and you like stand up on it. It's like literally you could feel that like shock go through your body. You know what I'm saying? Like that like tense of like, okay, am I still here? Am I still surviving? Okay, I'm good. But yeah, it gets...
Everything's not still intact.
Yeah, everything, nothing cracked. Everything can still move, but it's just so worth it because it's so great. But even I've done like high rep body weight dips. You get like a sick pump and it's still hard. Like after like, dude, like if you're on rep, like whatever, 15 of just body weight, you're like dying. But it gets the area of your delt, not your delt. Well, it hits your delts too, but it gets the area of your pec from your armpit to like your nipple. If that makes sense, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that spot, like, I feel like you can't hit with any other exercise except dips. So if you, and I that's obviously not true. I'm sure there's some Athlean X video about how to hit this area of your chest. And he has like this sick, he's just the GOAT, obviously, but it really is. That's the one I found that's like simple to do. You know, it's hard, but it's like a normal exercise. It's not like some specialization chest exercise that hits that, because that definitely contributes a lot to like the width of your chest. Like that's one exercise I can say that, because, you know, we go to the gym and you do all these different exercises. You try this out, you try that out, especially after going for years and years and years. And sometimes you feel like you're doing exercises and, you know, maybe it's hard to isolate like what has really made a difference. Do you know what I'm saying? And it's like with weighted dips, I could see like when I started doing them regularly to like 2 months later of having done them regularly, like I could point to clearly specific gains where I was like, okay, this exercise changed the muscle in this specific way. And I was like, all right, that's pretty sick.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. I mean, and I think flies, I think the key is flies if you just like hold them. So like
at the bottom?
At the full extension, you're just like squeezing your chest until you can't breathe.
Oh, you're saying at the top, and like when you come together.
When you fully extend, you just like hold it there for like 3 seconds and you just squeeze that. That helps a lot.
Yeah.
That I've taken a break from just flies and just been doing like more compound movements. So I'll just do like chest, barbell chest, and then like incline, dumbbell chest or whatever. Like, you know, the classic.
The classic, the staples.
Yeah, the staples. And so I'm going to get back into doing more flies and whenever that happens. I mean, my gym is supposed to come back, I think, April 1st. So I think I could last like another 10 days, but that's not...
It's not set in stone, dude. Like tomorrow, they could be like, yeah, we're out till July 15th. It's like, okay, great. Exactly. Now is the time to panic. But another quick thing, and we're right around an hour and a half. So after, I mean, obviously a little gym talk, that's always great. There's one other thing that I could point to just in case anyone is listening still and goes to the gym and wants a little tip. If you look up the ad, I don't know if you've seen this. I probably sent you this video. Or, I mean, not to say that I was like, oh, I showed it to you. I'm sure you probably saw it before me. Who cares? You get what I'm saying. There's the Athlete X video, the biceps master tip. And that's like another thing that I could point to where I was like, this specific thing I did at the gym gave me clear results even after so many years of going to the gym. And it's the idea that when, no matter what, and obviously it's harder to do for some biceps exercises than others, but the idea is that, so if you're thinking of doing like a standard curl, and when you finish the curl and you're at the top and like you're squeezing your bicep, let's just say it's dumbbell curl. And if you just do it right now, if you're listening at home, and probably the palm of your hand is like facing in towards your body, right? You know what I'm saying? Like you're at the top of the rep and your palm's facing the inside of your body.
Yeah.
The idea is when you get to the top of a biceps exercise, have your palm face the ceiling instead. And it takes your forearm, your forearm out of the lift apparently, and focuses more on your bicep. And you can even feel it just doing like a curl with like no weight, like with your arm. I'm doing it right now. And that was like sick. That's when I'm like, literally, and when I switch all my biceps lifts to like doing it that way instead, I could see like clear gains in my biceps even after so long of like working out. And, you know, obviously there's some periods of times where you're like, you're working out for 6 months and you don't really know whether you're getting gains or not. You don't really quite notice them. And I was just like, Athlete X, like, you're literally the GOAT, dude, to like give a tip like that, where I was just like, it just changed the way I work out forever for biceps. I'm like, this is sick. This guy is just like I don't even know. He's like a gym genius. He's like the Jesus of the dumbbells or something.
Yeah, I could attest to that as well. Like I'll do like 55, 60 hammer curls, 65 pound hammer curls for like, let's say like 8 reps. And then I'll get as big, if not a bigger pump, just dropping the weight down to like 25 or even 15 pounds and just like focusing on the contraction while holding it, you know, at the peak while doing what you're saying, basically having your palm face towards the ceiling. Dude,
it's like, how do you do that for like a hammer curl?
What? No, not for a hammer curl. I'm saying,
I know what you're saying. I get you. Like, yeah, you could, I totally get what you're saying. Just like going, transferring from a hammer curl to
comparing it.
Gotcha. Yeah, dude, it's
sick. Yeah, you get a sick pump.
Like, that's why he literally called it, I think in one of his videos, he's like, this is like, I mean, he literally calls it the master tip. I don't know if he says something like, if you're going to take one thing away from all of my videos, like, but it's so true. Like, people should not go to the gym without doing this. Like, it's just because the curl is like, you're obviously standard. Anytime anyone wants to be a bro and like make fun of the gym, they go to the curl. And it's just like everyone is doing it like wrong, basically. And like they're leaving so many gains on the table. But it's like, it's awesome. I'm like, dude, this guy is a complete legend. The hammer curl, one final point, unless you have anything you want to talk about. Hammer curl is like one thing I never really figured out completely how to do it with dumbbells. I'll do the hammer curl with the rope attachment, and it's sick. Like, just that's sick. That's elite for like the you know, like the brachialis, that like knot muscle in the middle of your bicep. Mm-hmm. That is like just elite for building that, and like obviously probably your forearms and just your biceps in general. But I could never quite get the hang of like just doing hammer curls, you know, like across your body with a dumbbell. Like, I never knew. That's one thing. Like,
I don't do across the body. I just do it straight up.
Yeah.
I just keep like my arms straight and just focus on just like doing, you know, just going up and down, you know, in a straight line.
Yeah.
And I won't go all the way up. I'll go up to like the top of my pec and then just like drop fully down, for a full extension. Gotcha. It's harder. It's easier to do isolation than both at the same time.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So like ISO, I could do like 60 pounds, which is like heavy. And then for like just you know, doing them at the same time, like 50 for like 8 reps. But I feel it more with I mean, it depends on the day. It depends on the day. But I'm a big hammer curl guy. But yeah, I mean, I love doing like what you said with like the rope.
Oh God, it was a game changer.
That, and then you combine it. You do like a drop set. You just drop the weight, and it's just like you just get a nice fat pump.
Yeah, honestly, when I'm lazy and like I'm just like, okay, I'm not really feeling like going to the gym, but I'll go to the gym. I'll just be like, all right, whatever. Like I'm doing arms, and I'll do exactly that. Like I'll do rope attachment hammer curls, like 100 pounds for 12 reps, and you know, 90, 80, 70, whatever. You get the idea,
right?
And just do literally flip it to like either, you know, triceps extensions with the rope or like triceps pushdowns for the like whatever. Maybe it's a little bit more weight or less weight, but then do like 110 and then just go down for 12 reps and then do like a biceps exercise. Same idea, just like drops a bunch of drop sets one after the other, after the other, after the other. And like you will in like a half hour get like a sick pump on your arms. It's awesome. I don't know how effective it is if that's like the only way you're working out your arms, but like if you want a sick pump, and it's a great way in like a half hour to get like a super solid arm workout.
I mean, pumps build muscle. Yeah, sure. So I mean,
I'm just getting sad. I'm like, well, the good news is that like whenever we are allowed to go back to the gym, it's like I always say, however long you take off, it takes half that time to get the gains back. So it's like, all right, if we're out of the gym for God forbid, like a couple months, it will really only. I know. God. I didn't want to say it. But it will only take half that amount of time to really get back to get back those gains.
Hopefully it's like, you know, like the newbie gains where basically like just,
of course,
you just get all those gains back because you're just off, you know, it's not in the gym for a while because like you were injured or whatnot.
Yeah, those
like,
are I'm almost hoping that happens. Super fun, honestly, because like you sort of just like inflate. It
never happened to me. I've always been weaker. Every time I take like a week or two off, I just get weaker.
Oh, I agree, but it's sort of like like you're saying, it's like, okay, let's say you're super lazy for 2 weeks and you miss a gym for a while. I don't know if it's just in my head, but like those for like the first week or two when you get back into it, I almost feel like the pumps are like crazier than ever for some reason. It's probably just because like you haven't done it in like 2 weeks, but for some reason in my head, I have it that like taking that week off will, you know, almost like accelerates my gains for some reason. I have no idea why.
No, it's a deload. That's what it's called, a deload.
Really? Week. Yeah. Well, but I don't even deload. Like I'll do a week where I just unload. There's no load. You know, there's no deloading.
There's no loading.
I don't go to the gym and do like 60% of my chest exercise. I know what you're saying the proper way to do it is, but yeah, I do the no load and I feel like it gets a similar sort of result. Just a little bro science.
I mean, whenever we get back in the gym, I'm just going to like take like a bunch of pre-workout for that week and just like just go.
It's just a glory return.
Going to be in there for like 3 hours. Like, I don't even know. I just do everything. I'll probably end up getting sick again. Like, everyone will just die. But it'll be worth it. I mean, at least I'll go out, you know, the way I want to.
Yeah, go out in a blade of glory or a blaze of glory.
Because if I was going to get the virus, like, just give it to me in the gym. And, you know, let me just get it over.
Exactly how you want to go out. You know, doing something that you love.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty much it.
I have nothing else. Right. I mean, I literally crossed off basically everything I wrote down. So, yeah, another one in the books. Like we said, episode 15. I mean, we're still chugging along. 15 episodes. That's almost like 4 months, right? So, pretty solid. We've been,
awesome.
Keeping it up.
That's awesome.
Keeping consistent. I mean, it's never going to stop. So.
Weekly.
Yeah, weekly.
Nope.
We just need some sports to come back, basically. A little bit unfortunate timing, but that it'll only make us stronger podcasters, you know? It's like, okay, we survived the sports apocalypse, basically. And we could deal with, you talk about, there's a slow sports week, you know, where like nothing happened and it was boring. Well, that's never going to happen again. Never take it for granted.
No, absolutely not. Like, we're just finding like little tidbits out of everything. And, you know, next week will be interesting because like we had a good hour of NFL free agency.
Right, we need something else to happen and I don't know what it's going to be.
I mean, yeah, we're gonna get creative, and that's just gonna be, it's gonna be
yeah,
fun.
For sure.
I don't know whatever it is, but we're gonna make shit happen because this is what we're pouring our energy into because we don't have the gym.
This
so
is
like,
all I've got.
Like, yeah, so all the masculine energy is like coming right through your ears. So yeah, enjoy, you know, keep doing those push-ups. I'm still lost on like what to do for back. Like I how is it possible to do a back workout?
I think you just have to
without a pull up bar.
Buy the pull up bar. I mean that's the truth. And like I haven't decided am I going to do it or not. And I think I'm just sort of feeling it out. I think I'm going to have to do it at some point. I mean I did not do anything this past week. Like in terms of I didn't do push ups. I didn't do shit. But I can't do that for like months on end. So like if it turns out where it's like, yeah, gyms aren't opening for months, I will buy a pull up bar. Like I have to. Because like you said, there's no other way to do back. I'm sure there is.
There's a
weird exercise and I'm like, no, you know what?
Let's just
get the pull up bar. Like let's not complicate this.
There's a pull. So I was at the park I was telling you about yesterday, and there was like a quote unquote fitness center, mm-hmm. and there was a pull up bar in the park. I mean, obviously it's outside, right. So maybe I just like spray it down with some Lysol and just you know drive 10 minutes just to do like 4 sets of pull ups, and just that's
yeah,
it.
Playground.
I mean, that's really it. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I got to find like a playground or something. I don't know what else because I mean, what are they called? Like the what are the, like the pull-up bars called that you hang on top of the door frame?
Oh, I just think of them as like pull-up bars. Maybe they have some sort of special, okay. But that's what I'm thinking of when I say like buying a pull-up bar. Obviously, put it on your door frame. Yeah.
Because I think I did that with like my past one at home, and I broke the frame.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, literally, if you do push-ups, you do pull-ups, and then I think it's tough for arms though. It's like I don't know what the hell to do for arms.
Don't you have dumbbells?
Honestly, I don't know. And if I do, they're probably like 25 pounds.
You just gotta,
high reps.
You just gotta, yeah, high reps or slow, like really, really slow reps. I'm going to be into like benching, like, curling, like my glasses or something. I don't know. Nothing really has weight to it. I'm looking at my apartment right now. There's not really nothing I could do. But, all right, yeah. Yeah. All right. So yeah, we're gonna end it on that. Yep. Stay fit, stay sane. Yeah. So episode 15
in the books
in quarantine. All right. Peace.
See ya.